And so we serve a role as gates. And even in this community, as a church, we stand as gates against that which the enemy will do, or for that which God wants to do in our city. We are the gates of this city. We are the gates of this town. We are the gates of this state, USA, New Jersey. We are the gates. As men and women of our homes, we are gates. We open doors and we open room and we shut room. Glory to God. We are gates. And isn't it amazing that we get rebuilt, right? We start from within and get ourselves secured for that which God wants to do with us and through our lives. And so when you read coming down, Eliashib, the high priest, this was the first work mentioned. He rose up to do the work with the priests, and they worked at rebuilding the sheep gate and the section of wall near there. Eliashib was the high priest, but the first person that is mentioned that got up to rebuild was the high priest. He didn't see himself as above this work. He didn't see himself as beyond that which was going on. He, the spiritual leader of the people, whom the people listened to, whom the people obeyed and respected, set the first example. This is a godly approach that is seen in, must be seen in every godly man or woman, in every godly leader. Leaders have to be the people that set the pace. We are pacemakers. We set the pace. And so since I've been here, by God's grace, the leaders here have been very responsive. And I want to say, continue in what you're doing. Don't just slack. There is more work for us to do. This is just the beginning. And so whatever that you are doing, wherever you are, don't see yourself as above what God wants to do here. Avail yourself. Make yourself available. You should be the one encouraging. You should be the one pushing people. You should be the one talking to people to fulfill the plan and the vision that God has for our congregation. Rebuild. Eliashib the high priest got up and he did it. He did it. They consecrated it. You see, they consecrated the gate. These people understood spiritual things. The word consecration is basically a setting apart. A stepping apart. They realized that the gate was special to God. And so they set it apart for the use and the glory of God. And so by so doing, they were saying that, Lord God, you are first, and this work that we are doing, we are dedicating it unto you. We are giving it up unto you. And Colossians 3:7 says, to everything as unto the Lord. Do everything as unto the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. Glory to God. And so you see, everything we are doing here, whether in your home, whether at work, whatever you do, do it as unto God. You want to do it as unto God. This rising and rebuilding, this putting your life in order, this everything that we are going to do here, we have to remember that we are doing it as unto God and not unto any human being. And if we get this mentality and this thinking, we will not wait to see who is watching, right? We will walk, we will work, whether we are watched or not. Because we are doing it as unto God. And we will do it with excellence. we would do it with excellence, which is also why for the staff here who minister, for us who serve here, our word is excellent. As though doing it unto God, we will not do any shabby job. We will not do a lukewarm job. No, we will do it to the best of our abilities that God has given us, only to glorify God. And I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful to our ushers coming out yesterday. We were here till about, I think, 3 p.m., right? We were here training just so that what we do here will be excellent unto God. Next to Eliashib, men of Jericho built. Every man's work was important. And though these did not work on a gate, they did the important job of building up the walls of protection and security for Jerusalem. Everybody played their role. They couldn't build a gate, but they built the walls. Whatever you can do to glorify God. You can't say, oh, these people are the ones doing it, so that's it. No, you have a place. Whatever you can do, do it. Wherever you want to start it from, start it, and God will honor you. So when you look at 3 to 5, the builders near the fish gate. Again, when you read 3 to 5, what you get is repaired, made repairs. There were certain areas that needed repairing. The Hebrew word chazak, used 35 times throughout this passage, chapter 3 alone, repaired, 35 times of repairing. And the Hebrew word is chazak. It means strengthening, encouraging, of making something strong. They rebuilt the thing, but they repaired the areas that were not strong. They strengthened it. We as men and women of God need to work on repairing one another, strengthening one another, encouraging one another. Where there is weaknesses, putting it together, coming alongside one another to make the other stronger. You see, there is a wise saying that one can be broken, but together you cannot break. And the word of God again says that one shall kill 1,000, but two shall kill 10,000s. Do you get the picture? When we stand alongside one another, there's nothing like weaknesses. We strengthen ourselves. We build one another. And so Ephesians 4:2 says, God says the purpose of the church for the equipping of the saints. And the idea behind equipping is to repair, strengthen, and make something able to be used. Do you get it? We have to be able to be used. Some of us have potentials. As I've come in here and as I look at all of us and I listen to us and I observe, I see the potentials that some of us have. I see the abilities and the qualities. Only with the right encouragement, with the right guidance, with the right prayer, with the support, we can become powerful even than what we think we are now. Coming alongside one another to support us. We come together as Christians to strengthen one another, to make us strong and able to live for Jesus and serve Him outside the gatherings of the walls of the church. We can be stronger. Don't seek to tear others down. Seek to strengthen, seek to encourage, seek to bring the best out of everybody. Together, it builds us up and prepares us for the journey that is ahead of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then he goes ahead. In the 3 to 5, he mentions the people of Tekoa. The people of Tekoa, there was something unique about them. Their leaders did not want to bend their neck. Let me read it. Also, the son of Hazaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its belt and bars. And the next to them, Memeroth, the son of Ugea, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechia, the son of Meshbezbek, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. The nobles of the Tekoites refused to work. But the funny thing is that they worked. They saw it as though they were above the law. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't submit. I don't know why they did that. It could be they did not like Nehemiah's leadership. It could be they had personal problems, whatever the reason is, Nehemiah didn't record it. But the point here is that they refused to work. But the interesting thing is the people still got up and worked. This tells us something. We might have leaders who might not be playing their role as leaders in our lives, but that which God gives to us, the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the callings of God, we should not let anybody dictate how it is used or whether we use it. Leaders might not set good examples, but we should not let their actions determine whether we serve God or not. A father might not be playing his role in the house as a father. It doesn't mean you should stop being the child of God you are supposed to be in the house. A husband or a wife might not be playing their role as God has called them to be. It doesn't mean you, the husband or the son or the daughter, should stop acting as a child of God in the family. At work, your bosses may not be working as your bosses. They may not be looking out for your best interest. They might have their own agendas that they are trying to carry out. But it shouldn't stop you from serving as though unto God. Over here, nothing should stop us from serving here as though unto God. We might have leaders who might not be good examples. Ministry leaders who might not be doing their job. It is not a reason for us to be gossiping and backbiting and tearing one another down, but we should go ahead to do the job. And that is exactly what is happening here. When you look at 6 to 12, that passage is big. I'm not going to read all, but I want to point out from the beginning a few points. Moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Pasha, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah, repaired the old gate. Among the repairs of the old gate and its nearby walls, Uziel, the son of Harihiah, one of the goldsmiths, alongside him was Hanani, one of the perfumers. Do you see the different giftings that are coming together? These people are not professional mercenaries. They don't know anything about cements and concrete and what to do and what. But yet still, as they are, they saw the need to avail themselves to be used by God. And so they came together. You cannot say, I have nothing to give. If you are willing, you will be used. If you are willing, you will be used. And so Saturday, men, it doesn't matter whether you can do woodwork or you can do, come out. Sometimes your presence alone will be an encouragement. That's all we need. Come out. Women, come together. Come together. Together they fortified Jerusalem. Availability is key when it comes to serving God. You see, you can have all the gifts in this world, but if you are not available to be used of God, it becomes waste. And as children of God, we need to be willing, we need to be available to be used by God. You might not know it all, you might not have it all, but regardless of it, the heart that you have to be used is what God will see, and he will use you mightily wherever you go, whatever you do. Jedi, the son of Harimath, made repairs in front of his house. This guy didn't have a mansion. His house, in front of his house, he paid attention to the front of his house. And the home is somewhere we have to pay attention. There are five people who are mentioned here. Their names are unique, that I want to touch on. In building the home, we have to focus on building our homes, and you will see very soon. Verse 3 to 10 mentions Jada, and his name means he was called, he who is called unto God. Our homes must be a place of prayer. He who calls unto God, our homes must be a place of prayer where the family calls out unto God. We have to set up the perimeters for calling out unto God in our homes. And in these days, there are many homes which are not doing this. Our homes are not a ground for calling out unto God. There are all sorts of things going on in our homes. So we have a chaos world. Because the Christian homes, which are supposed to be focused on calling out unto our Lord, are doing other things. Most homes, when you enter, doesn't even look like this is a Christian's home. What are we building in our homes? This rebuilding doesn't only refer to our walls here. No, the rebuilding, I have said several times, must be from within us to the outward. And so if our homes are not together, if our homes are not where we are calling out unto God from, let us start from today. Again, when you look at 3:23, Benjamin, other translations say Benjamin. I guess Americans will call it Benjamin, right? Benjamin. Okay. And his name means son of my right hand, speaking of a protector. Our homes must be places of protection and peace. Do we have protection and peace in our homes? I have seen men who abuse their wives. I have seen women who abuse their husbands and abuse their children. In some homes you walk in, there is nothing like peace but calamity and sorrow. Our homes must be a place of peace. Isn't it amazing? Just last week, Easter Sunday, I was speaking on the subject of peace be with you. When Jesus resurrected and came among his disciples, and he said, peace be with you. This peace that Jesus Christ has won for us needs to be seen even in our homes. Even in our homes. The next name is Zadok. When you look at 3:29, Zadok, his name means justice. Our homes must be place of justice and integrity, especially with integrity regarding our marital vows and promises. What are you doing that is breaking your vows in the house? Together forever. To live with you forever. But we are loving other things than our partners. In this modern day, there are many marital vows which are not being honored. We have to focus on honoring our marital vows in our homes. If you are a man and you have married a woman, honor the vow. If you are a woman, honor the vow. Honor the vow to your children. That child was somewhere and you went to bring this child into this world. God blessed you with such a beautiful gift and you need to honor your vow. Don't allow the enemy to come in between you in your home. Integrity. Most people are not living by integrity. What do you do in your home, in your own personal life, when nobody is watching? Most Christians don't have integrity. Nothing guides us. We can choose to change our mind right now. We say we will do something, the next, 2 minutes, I changed my mind. Integrity. And over here, we need to value integrity. I said I would do this, so I will do it. Integrity. Nehemiah 3:30, Meshulam, his name means devoted. Our homes must be place of devotion and separation to God. I've been encouraging almost everybody I meet to have a personal devotion with God. It's important. We must be devoted to God. If we devote ourselves like that, we will always have a word in season. We will always walk according to the plan of God. Look at how Jesus walked on this earth. He walked with purpose. He knew what he was about. Sometimes he will come to his disciples and he will say, "Get up, let's go. Go and do this, go and do that." He was so devoted to his relationship with the Father. Luke tells us he would wake up at dawn to go and pray. Devotion is key. And even in this house, even here, devotion must be key to us. Hearing, availing ourselves to hear from God. We need to. You see, there's another person. His situation is very special and unique. His name is Malchijah, son of Harim. Malchijah. When you study Ezra chapter 10, verse 31, this man was rebuked by Ezra. He had married a pagan woman. And if we know history, God told the Jewish people, the Jews, not to marry from other tribes. And this man had disobeyed God. He had gone to marry a woman who did not know the God of Israel and was living with her. And so in Ezra told him this is wrong, and he repented then. And he even left his wife and he lived for God. But the funny thing is this, years and years after Ezra, Nehemiah comes and this Malchijah is now the guy who has repented and is willing to work for the Lord Almighty. You see, this tells us something. our sins shouldn't cause us to not live for God. Our past life, a life we should leave behind and press on serving God. This man's life is an example. He used to be something, but when the time came to serve God, he is the first person in line to glorify God. I'm telling you, I know what God saved me from, and I've made a personal decision. I'm not going back. You decide that you're not going back to your past. Doesn't matter what somebody did to you. Decide that you are not going to allow the past to control your future. And so if you are here and you are battling with any form of situation, don't use that excuse as, this is what my parents did to me, or this is what happened to me in the past, and allow that to hang over your neck even now that you have accepted the Lord Jesus and are supposed to live for him. Put aside fear, love him, yield to him, and allow him to lead you. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is a man here, Shalom, the son of Halalush. He and his daughter made repairs. Listen, he and his who? Daughters made repairs. Even women came along the building of the place. In the house of God, we cannot discriminate. Everybody is important. Everybody carries special, unique giftings that must be used and can be used. It doesn't matter. And so whether you are a man here or a woman here, there is a place for you. Also understand this, you can play a role. Your gifting or your ability might not be in the church, but be willing to be used by God. Whether you are a woman, you are a child, you are a youth, you are a young adult, God will use you if you avail yourself. Whatever age you are, you can be used. Whatever sex you are, you can be used. They worked with their father. It's also a sign to us that fathers and mothers, parents, must set an example to our younger ones. It is the home where training starting from. The word of God says that train up a child the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. We need to start teaching the basic ways of living for God from the house. Don't leave it to the school teachers to train your children for you. Don't. Fathers, make yourselves available. Mothers, make yourselves available. Don't chase the dollar and lose the opportunity to raise up your children in the love and the fear of God. I mean, where I live in Jersey City, it's a young, vibrant community. There's a lot of young men and women who are making good money, living really good, but all their life is at work. And because they can afford to pay for nannies to take care of their children, it is the nanny that comes to pick up the child from bed. It is the nanny that does everything. It is the nanny that even takes the child out to evening practices and stuff like that. And so the parents are never really available. The nanny. And so if the nanny has a certain belief, that is what he or she trains the child in, it's no wonder our children grow. Most of our children are growing these days confused. There is no example from the house. But over here, in the name of our Lord Jesus, it will not happen. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. The builders near the water gate, 26 to 27. Moreover, Netahim, who dwelt in Ophel, made repairs as far as the place in front of the water gate towards the east and on the projecting tower after them, the Tikr. Now these people are special. I'm going to tell them you about them again. The Tikrites repaired another section next to the great projecting tower and as far as the wall of Ophel. The Tikrites are repairing another wall this time. You remember their leaders refused to work. After they had finished their work, they've again come to serve with another group. Do you see it? Lack of selfishness. And most of us need to get rid of selfishness. Some of us love ourselves more than anything else. I'm not saying you shouldn't love yourself, because the word of God says that love your neighbor as yourself. So you are supposed to love yourself, but put aside selfishness. We must all come together to do this good job, this good work of winning, of working in our community, coming alongside our community and serving our community, being a blessing to our community. We must all chip in. If you say, oh, I'm the one that dance at church, so when we are going out to do evangelism, I'm not going, then who else is going to go and do the evangelism? Put aside selfishness and let's focus on the call to be a blessing to our community. Look, our community needs us. And we cannot be comfortable here like this. Look behind you. Please turn and look behind you. See the empty spaces around? See how far you are from me. You see how far you are from me. Some churches are seriously looking for more land to build big buildings to be able to hold more people. And look how empty we are here. We can't be comfortable, brothers and sisters. So let us put ourselves aside and work as unto God. So when you look at this chapter, it's all about work. And it tells us something about Nehemiah. It tells us something about Nehemiah. I'm going to leave the passage here. I'm going to leave it here. Next week, we will touch